This critique examines a compelling piece submitted by a listener arguing that manufacturing AI fails not from weak models, but because it is fed data fatally stripped of operational context. The transition from diagnosing the historian data trap to proposing the four-part context layer needs stronger connective tissue to keep the reader grounded in the operational reality.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they start out with this incredibly vivid scenario, right?
Right. The 02.14 a.m. false alarm.
Exactly. It's a Sunday morning, and you've got this multi-million dollar predictive model triggering a massive alert. The whole night shift just halts production, the reliability engineer gets woken up and paged, and all this happens because the traditional historian just logged a raw tag.
Just spindle 1 Vibram S equals 2.3 millimeters per second or whatever it is.
Right. Just the number. The machine was doing exactly what it was supposed to do, just a routine tool change. But the model is completely blind to that. It's just sampling without state.
It's trying to diagnose a patient through a keyhole. It sees the vibration spike, but has no idea about the batch, the material, or the upstream sequence. So a key theme running through this material seems to be this dynamic of modern factories becoming model rich, but context poor.
Model rich and context poor. I love that phrasing. We are, we're aggressively buying the sprinter, but completely forgetting to actually build the track for them to run on.
Yeah, but then right after establishing this brilliant diagnosis of the historian data trap, the text kind of just, it abandons it.
It really does. It shifts into the solution space, the unified namespace, the event and aggregate contract, and it just totally drops that 0214 spindle example. We go from a very gritty, real shop floor failure straight into like an IT whiteboard session.
Right. Suddenly we're swimming in theory. And for a CTO or an OT lead, it gets so much harder to see exactly how these four pillars actually solve that specific sampling without state problem.
That's clearly laid out. I wonder, though, if we've considered carrying that specific spindle vibration example all the way through the four pillars of the proposed architecture.
Oh, using it as a continuous thread.
Exactly. We have to prove the value of the context layer by applying it directly to the exact failure mode we just talked about.
Okay, so let's get concrete about how the author could actually do that. When they introduce the unified namespace, instead of just saying that it organizes signals hierarchically, they need to show the transformation.
Right. Show the math. Well, the data mapping, really.
Yeah. Take that meaningless spindle one vibe RMS tag and show how the unified namespace turns it into plant B, line 3, OP40, spindle, vibration. You're taking a floating number and giving it an actual physical location.
And then you don't just stop there. When you move to the event and aggregate contract, you don't talk about edge computing in the abstract. You show it on that same spindle.
Show the edge device doing the work.
Yes. Detail how the edge calculates, an FFT band energy or a CPCPK, but strictly tied to the tool change state, instead of just streaming vibration data at 100 hertz into some massive data lake.
Which is what everyone does, unfortunately.
Exactly. But instead, the edge node waits. It waits for the PLC to actually declare the tool change state, runs the math over that specific window, and then publishes one single contextualized payload.
Well, wait, let me push back a bit on this, because I understand turning a tag into a coordinate. But doesn't a standard historian already have timestamps? I mean, why does a CIO need to read about the mechanics of an event contract? Can't they just align the timestamp of the vibration with the timestamp of the tool change later, like up in the cloud?
I mean, they can try. And that is exactly how pilots die.
Just crash and burn.
Completely. In my 15 years in OT, I have seen this exact graveyard so many times. A pilot looks amazing on one machine in month one, but it's only working because a human engineer is quietly sitting in the background, acting as a walking context layer.
Oh, they're hand labeling the regimes?
Yes. They're exporting historian data, manually matching it with MES schedules in an Excel spreadsheet, and basically telling the model, hey, this spike was a tool change, ignore it.
And then month 9 rolls around and management says, great, scale this to 40 machines across 3 lines.
And it dies with a whimper, because humans don't scale. You can't hire an army of engineers to hand label 40 machines every single time a line is reconfigured. So, the event and aggregate contract is basically the mathematical systemization of that human engineer.
So, if the text shows how the contract bundles the evidence strictly to the tool change state, it proves the architecture prevents the 0214 false alarm inherently.
Exactly. It scales without the walking context layer.
That grounds it perfectly. It takes the abstraction and makes it tangible engineering. But having established that a lack of architectural context causes these operational failures, we do need to pivot, because the governance argument surrounding NIS2 and the EU AI Act feels siloed from the gritty shop floor realities of muted alerts and hand-labeled data.
This was a massive missed opportunity for me. The author identifies the right stakes, NIS2, GDPR, the Works Council, the AI Act. Those are huge for a mid-sized manufacturer, but the framing is just off.
It reads like a legal disclaimer.
Right? It feels tacked onto the end of an engineering document.
Let's look closely at the section discussing these governance stakes. We just spent all this time proving that missing context causes false positives, and then suddenly we're in a siloed legal discussion. A CTO is just going to forward this section to the legal department and stop reading.
Is there a risk that focusing solely on the legal text might overlook how the shop floor actually triggers these liabilities? We need to intertwine the compliance risks directly with the operational failure modes.
So basically showing that bad engineering is mathematically identical to bad compliance?
Exactly. Take GDPR and the Works Council, or the Betriebsrat if you're in Germany. Let's bring back that engineer hand-labeling data.
The walking context layer.
Right, to figure out the machine state, they're pulling shift schedules, MES logs, operator logins. If you don't have a semantic asset model that strictly separates the machine cycle data from the operator data, you are, by default, tracking operator performance.
Because you're tracking how fast John Doe loads a part to figure out the cycle time.
Exactly, and in a co-determined plan, that is an immediate Works Council dispute. Your pilot is dead.
Dead on arrival.
The text needs to state that a disciplined context layer watches the machine, not the person. Tying the genealogy record strictly to the asset is the difference between a successful rollout and being stuck in legal purgatory for 6 months.
And that same logic totally applies to the EU AI Act. The explainability requirement isn't just a legal checkbox. It's the exact antidote to the unfalsifiable alert we just talked about.
Right. Because when an alert can't be falsified by an operator, what happens?
They mute it.
They lose trust entirely.
And under the AI Act, if a model influences a safety-relevant or quality-relevant decision, it absolutely cannot be a black box.
Meaning, if you don't have that event and aggregate contract capturing exactly what was measured, in what time window, and in what specific machine state, you don't just get an annoyed maintenance engineer, you fail your audit.
Explainability is an emergent property of the architecture, not just a feature you bolt on later.
That causal link has to be fiercely clear. And, you see the exact same thing with NIS2 and IEC 2443.
Yeah, network segmentation.
Right. NIS2 is about the security of the data path. If you don't have proper OT to IT segmentation, your model is probably going to consume a spoofed or degraded feed at some point.
And without a context layer to validate it, the model becomes confidently wrong.
Exactly. A basic IT vulnerability becomes a catastrophic physical error on the shop floor. Who signs off when an unsegmented network gets breached and the autonomous model starts making bad quality dispositions?
Right, generating actual scrap?
That's an architectural governance question, not a legal hypothetical. The legal stakes are just the operational stakes wearing a suit.
I love that. And since we've just established that the AI Act strictly forbids unexplainable autonomous models in safety-critical manufacturing, this perfectly sets up our next point, because the references to specific deployments risk diluting the piece's objective authority if they are not framed with absolute, defensive architectural discipline.
This is a huge trap in the industry right now, and the text almost falls into it. Up to this point, the author has built this highly credible, war-torn OSINT architect persona. They're dissecting failures surgically.
But then we hit the section on Pragmatos Pulse and the Orbis rule set.
Yeah.
I can see what you're going for here. Let's see how we can strengthen this. The author wants to prove that context first actually works by citing a real implementation. But they can't just list features. The moment a CIO reads about a platform executing, Fourier decomposition or automated anomaly detection, their vendor hype alarm goes off.
Instantly.
The text dances so close to sounding like a product pitch, which undermines all the objective authority they just built up.
That makes sense, but could the evidence also support a different conclusion? Like this being misread as a silver bullet pitch entirely? Because the industry is just saturated with these breathless corporate broadcasts saying, you know, just add AI and you'll have the factory of the future.
Oh, it's exhausting.
OT veterans despise that hype cycle because we're the ones who have to clean up the mess when the silver bullet misses. The author clearly hates the hype too, but they need to use restraint as a weapon here.
So what does that look like? Just softening the language?
No, it's about being hyper-precise about boundaries and maturity, aggressively front-loading what the system cannot do.
Ruthless claim discipline.
Exactly. State with absolute precision that, yes, Pragmatos Core is deployed today in live production, but the Pulse SPC, the anomaly work, the Orbis advisory disposition, those are proven only in a reference plant, strictly on modeled process data.
So don't let the reader assume for a second that these modules are shipping globally tomorrow.
Never. That level of honesty actually builds immense trust with an engineering audience. And on top of that, make it fiercely clear that these modules are strictly advisory only. Zero auto-scrap capabilities.
Because you do not let an algorithm scrap a $50,000 aerospace casting by itself.
Exactly. Not without a human signature. The text has to say that scrap moves only through an explicit human route. By drawing those precise boundaries, the author actually attacks the futurist speculation.
By showing that not claiming autonomous decision-making is actually the only honest, compliant way to run a model on a factory floor.
Right. It's the difference between an assistant your engineers trust and an oracle they immediately learn to mute.
So, to synthesize our critique today, this piece makes a devastatingly accurate diagnosis of the context-poor AI trap. But to elevate it, we recommend three structural revisions. First, carry that 2.14 spindle vibration example continuously through the unified namespace and event contract sections. Ground the theory in reality. Second, wire the shop floor failure modes directly to the NIS2 and AI Act compliance risks. Bad engineering equals failed audits. And finally, enforce ruthless claim discipline on deployments like Pragmatos, aggressively front-loading their limitations to bypass the vendor hype.
It really is an exceptionally strong foundation, born from real industrial pain. I warmly invite the listener to implement these revisions, tighten up those connections, and submit the updated material back to the critique for another look.
The industry loves to buy sprinters, completely forgetting that someone has to build the track. And until that context layer is built, the models will just keep crying wolf in the dark at 02:14 in the morning.